It's the Puppet Parent Podcast. In today's episode, we'll talk about intimidating gyms, Z's birthday, a Labor Day transition, jobs representation in TV and film, and parental intervention rules. It's all coming up next on the Puppet Parent Podcast. Happy birthday!
Oh.
It's her birthday tomorrow. Happy birthday, Z.
Thanks.
Come here.
Mwah. On the lips.
Yeah. My, it's scandalous. Wow. Hey, Swanee. Happy birthday to everybody out there. If it's your birthday, if it's close to your birthday, happy birthday, guys.
Fellow Virgos, I see you. We like to sort. Yes, we do.
I was close to being a Virgo.
Yeah?
Yeah. My I'm October 6th, so I'm a Libra.
Okay.
Yeah. So pretty close. I like to sort.
Yeah.
That's all I've been doing in my free time is sorting my parents' backyard, getting rid of shrubs, you know, sweeping old dead leaves out, rummaging through roots. My shoulder hurts because I've been like pickaxing some roots.
Is it like, do you feel good? Like you're doing something?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's more like just exercise.
Okay.
Really, and sorting. If going to the gym meant that you could like sort things and get ripped, that would be like my number one. Because the gym is about like tuning everybody out because there's like this awful music playing and everyone's just hyper focused. You know, don't talk to me, typical New York gym. And if somebody starts talking to you or making a big noise, you stay away from that area until they're done. Hopefully you don't need their stuff or they haven't taken the stuff that you want. And you're just doing your thing and trying to, like, gym is all about social distancing anyway. And if people are talking in the gym, it's because they know each other already and they're workout buddies.
Okay.
Yeah.
I am very, I'm not a member of a gym.
No, I don't think you ever will be, but that's okay.
It makes me really uncomfortable. It reminds me of all of the things that I disliked about phys ed class, like gym class. I don't know. Even the smell is like,
whoa, yuck. You've been in some stinky gyms?
I don't know. There's just, I just don't want to exercise around people. Mm. And then with this whole thing, I don't think there's ever going to be anything that's going to get me to go to a gym at this point.
Right.
I was already apprehensive. That was the word I couldn't think of.
Yeah.
About going to gyms. And now I feel like, well, I'm never going to go to a gym.
But
you're a gym owner or if you really like gyms, it's just not my thing. I just have a hard time with exercise in general, like formal exercise. But Oswani says he talks to everybody at the gym.
Oh, no. Well, I think it's a little bit different.
Maybe in New York City it's different.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
I feel like even here people would be like, oh, hey, how's it going? Oh, I saw you the other day. You new in
this
town?
This is true. This is true. So it depends on your locale.
Yeah.
You know, if you see your friends in the gym, that's a little different. Sometimes people go to the gym to socialize and hang out. My experience in New York City gyms is we're all neighbors, but we're all strangers. Also, there's this unwritten rule that you shouldn't try to pick people up in a gym. So I'm not saying that's you, Swanee, but out here it's like you don't try to hit on somebody while they're doing rock squats. It's just inappropriate. Just like, no, man, I didn't come here for love. I'm just here to get my sweat on. You know what I mean? And I stink. And unless it's your workout buddy, and then they're there to support you, and that's super cool. Yeah, like I've seen big bear men, huge dudes with like bear like the kind of dudes that are so ripped that a regular sleeveless t-shirt looks tiny. Like made for babies, and it's been overly stretched out. And these two huge dudes had matching tattoos, like
aww.
Intimate stuff on these tattoos. Intimate things were said, were tattooed on each other. And I was like, okay, clearly this bond ain't going anywhere because these people, like, yeah, like, would you want to get matching tattoos with me at some point? Like, that's like a...
I don't know.
And it's not just like a name. We're talking like
even the name. I'm not sure. Words. I don't know. I've gotten to this point. Tomorrow I'll be 41, where I have not gotten a tattoo, and I'm not sure that I'm going to get a tattoo.
Right.
Yeah.
What if you
knew?
But what if you knew?
I got piercings. I've gotten like my ears pierced, my nose pierced.
Can we see your piercings?
I have like, you know, stuff going on. I have like, mm-hmm. I got an industrial barbell when I was a teenager, and mm-hmm. then I got, you know, more stuff on this ear, and I like the asymmetricalness of it. And
everybody hear that? Wow, you skipped lunch, I guess.
No, I don't know what's going on. I'm just Springville, man.
Well, let me tell you something. not to jump to topics or anything, but because the Black Panther died, they said that one of the symptoms of colon cancer is having like intestinal hurtiness for like a few days in a row. You're like, okay, if your poop is weird and your like intestines or stomach or something is like not feeling good for like, let's say like 5 days, that you should go and get checked.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was just going to go home and have some yogurt, but
I don't know. I like going to the gym. I like knowing what's going on inside my body all the time. If something starts hurting, I want to know why, you know, immediately. And I want to, because I want to, I don't know, maybe it's like a control thing. Like I want to be in control. I want to have my best body. I want to have my best life, you know, and if something's out of whack, I want to isolate it and get rid of it immediately. You know, it's like a sickness. Like nobody wants to get sick like a long time. If you get like day one sick, you got to be like, okay, let's Sherlock Holmes this. You know, let's get on the case. Let's figure it out so we can get this done as quickly as possible. So I can get back to like a pain free, a nice day. And going to the gym is part of that. You know,
I think I could see myself being slightly more okay with gym culture if I had a personal trainer, mm-hmm. but I don't feel like I am in a financial place where I want to pay for a personal trainer.
Right.
So, I just feel so overwhelmed. Yeah. Like I walk into the gym and like I said, first of all, I'm very like sensory about the situation. So there's sounds that are bringing me back to moments that were unhappy. There's smells that I don't like. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'm not interested in the music that they're playing. Yes. So already it's like, ugh. And it's very much a type of situation that mm-hmm. I feel uncomfortable in.
Right.
You know, and I'm a very comfortable person. I feel comfortable in lots of situations. If you told me that I needed to work at the gym and check people in, mm-hmm. I could do that. You tell me I have to go in and like work out there, we have suddenly crossed a line in my emotional psyche that I might not be able to come back from.
That is so fascinating to hear you say that, because that's me all the time. It was a struggle to go to be comfortable at the gym, because you go in and there's a bunch of people and they all seem to know what they're doing and you don't know anything, and it's very intimidating. But it's like the people who work there want you there, you know, like they want you to come in and, you know, and utilize their space for your health, you know. So it's kind of like, I feel like there needs to be gym ambassadors, you know. Like I asked specifically when I signed up at our local gym, which when we get back to New York City will not be there anymore, because they're turning that building into a Target.
They're moving to a new space.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Well, that's what they said on their Instagram, and it's going to be opening pretty soon, and so you need to decide what you want to do with your membership too.
Right.
I don't know if you can pause the membership until you get back or what.
Well, I think they haven't been charging us during
pandemic. Because it's been closed, but yeah. Once they open back up. Things that we need to think about.
Yeah. No, mm-hmm. I mean, it's nice to get out of the apartment and go to the gym. You mm-hmm. know, also, it's a good reason to leave. It's good for your mental health, too. It's like you need to leave your apartment. You can't just say, I can work out at home. You have to leave your apartment and go somewhere where there's other people. So that's part of the reason why going to a gym is also like a good thing, because it's good for like you may have to interact with people. Leaving your apartment is so important for your mental health. You have to leave, which is why it was so tough for us and a lot of people, this, you know, this whole quarantine, because if you can't leave your apartment, you start getting like the indoor sickness.
Well, here's the deal, is that also living in New York City, we're used to leaving. Like, you don't stay in your apartment. Mm-hmm. You have a small space that's cramped and, like, sometimes feels a little too tight. But it's okay because you leave all the time to then go enjoy all of the reasons that you live there. Mm-hmm. You know, all of the awesomeness, the amazing food, the wonderful people, you know, the ability to get anywhere you need to go when somebody else drives, you know, because it's the subway or maybe you take a Lyft or something. So I don't know. It just, being out here has just felt like some kind of weird, crazy fever dream that just keeps going longer and longer. And, mm-hmm. You know, the kids definitely miss home. Leaf, especially our older son, he's 7. He misses home. And, but I think really what he misses, honestly, guys, I think he misses the internet. I don't know how much he actually misses home, but he definitely misses the internet and he misses some of his toys. I think he had a lot more freedom in some ways at home, but then also he has a lot of freedom out here that he didn't have back there. So it's just different. And I think that maybe deep in their mind, they were still in this place of we're staying until the end of summer and then we're going to go back and things will be back to normal. Even right. though we never officially said that. We said we're going to stay until it's okay to go back. We'll see. Maybe that's the end of the summer, but it might be longer. And now it's longer. And I think the kids are feeling, especially Leaf, because he knows what school feels like. Finn's never really been in a proper school. He went to Universal Pre-K, which in New York City we call UPK, mm-hmm. for about half a year. But even that wasn't like school, you know, it was.
Well, I mean, yeah. It's getting them used to the idea of like
going someplace every day.
It's just kids and teachers and mm-hmm. the teachers are in charge. And occasionally you do art and fun things and, you know, like sometimes math.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. But I'm definitely feeling like, oh, man, what are we going to do about the kids in the school? But you know, whatever, like, we're just gonna feel it out and see how it goes, and maybe we go back in October, maybe we don't, maybe I don't know, maybe the kids have a whole year where it's just like we lost a year of school and the next year we start over again. And really, is that so bad? I you know, the discussion I've been having with friends of mine has been this internal struggle that I keep finding myself wrestling with, which I keep noticing that I'm subconsciously wanting so much to have things go back to normal that I am willing to put things to the side that I thought were super important at the beginning. And then I'm like, no, stop. This might only be for another few months. And if it's only for another few months, it's okay to be here. There's still so much we don't know. Everything's so in flux. The election is happening. Like, everything's crazy. So why not continue to be in a place that's stable until we have a better handle of what things are looking like? You know, because everybody is wondering, what's this going to look like? Nobody knows. And I'm just like, you know what? We don't need to be a part of that. We don't need to be a part of the big experiment of what will this look like. But I also want to acknowledge the amount of privilege that I have to be able to even have a choice in this, to be able to say, are we going back to school or not? I don't know. What are we going to do? Should we stay in Springville? Should we go back to New York City? I don't know. Like, how wonderful that we get to make a choice in that, because so many people don't really have that. And and your parents have been amazing, and I don't know. Once I know what the kids' schedules are going to be, like what their commitment online will be versus what we are able to provide for, and like how we can realign our schedules with their schedules, because the fall schedule will change, then I think I'll feel better. I don't know. There's a lot that I'm constantly thinking about all the time.
Yeah, I think that's everybody. That's why, like, people can get more stressed out now, you know, because it's mm-hmm. like we're thinking about more stuff, and it's not always good stuff. So a couple days ago, mm-hmm. I decided I was getting really angry at night watching, I mean, the Republican National Convention was happening. Oh. I wasn't really watching that, but just even reading the news of what they were saying and just different news coming out of the U.S. is just nuts. Getting angry about it and angry about things on social media because, you know, people on the internet, you know, you want to argue against things that you feel like are crazy or bad or wrong, but it's just you really screaming into the void and people screaming back. So I decided, I was like, you know what? I'm going to take a break. I'm going to take a break as much as possible from the news, from social media, just like take a step back because I feel like I was engaging too much. And because I'm already kind of stressed out because of just like everything that's happening in the world, having anger in the mix is just like, is bad. So my mom is like, hi, mom. One of the things my mom does is she dictates memes from the internet to people. So she'll be sitting there on her iPad on the couch and then she'll be like, oh, let me tell you what this says, and we'll read the meme like word for word. Or she'll say
they're
like
very punny things, usually like very punny jokes. I like them usually. I think they're usually pretty funny.
But sometimes she'll read like, well, the president just said this, you know. Oh. But she's got an answer for it, or she's like, yeah, but that's not, you know something. Mm-hmm. Something. But like I've told her a couple times the last couple days, stop. I don't want to hear what they had to say, you know. It's like, it's just going to make me angry and there's actually nothing I can do about it. Like, there's literally nothing I can do about it. I can't change the minds of the people in power, but I can vote. And it's very important. If you are listening to this right now, you better vote.
Yeah.
No matter, like, if you live in a functioning democracy, ours is like on life support right now. But if you do and you have the power, you must vote. So many Americans don't vote, which is crazy, like a third of us don't vote. Or more, and it's so important. Every single time it's important, but this time it's really important because it's like, I can't imagine 4 more years of our country choosing to be led down this dark path, like the real dark path. Everything that they're saying that the Democrats want for America, classic projecting, that's exactly what's going to happen, is happening. And it just stresses me out and makes me angry. I can't control it, so I'm just going to put it out of my mind as much as I can and make sure I vote when it counts, right?
Yeah. It is stressful. You know, I listened to an episode of Mark Maron's podcast last night, mm-hmm. who has a really well-known podcast called WTF. And if you've never listened to it, every once in a while I tune in, and I think it's been maybe a couple years since I've listened. And I was thinking, you know, it would be fun to listen and see. So I saw a recent episode where he had interviewed Kieran McCulkin, which is Macaulay Culkin's brother, who was, the whole McCulkin family was in show business. But one of the things that Mark Maron was saying at the beginning, because he kind of gives like a download of like where he's at that day, which I super appreciate. And I really related to it because he was saying, I just don't think I can handle anything else blowing up, burning down, exploding, or feeling like the world is ending. Like, not just natural, but also like politically. I can't handle it. Stop. Just stop. And I was like, yeah, dude. Same. Like, my crazy, like my level of intake for crazy and things that I didn't know like were possible but actually are possible, I think I am also very close to my limit of being able to like be okay in moments that are not okay. And I think that we've done a fairly good job in the midst of being like a family of trying to normalize all of this, which is so not normal. And remember when Donald Trump got elected and we all kept saying out loud, like, none of this is normal. None of this is normal. And it's like that statement is just like increased, like the font has gotten bigger, it's gotten bold. It's huge. None of this is normal. And yet here we are trying to make it normal for our kids, you know, and for us to be able to get by day to day. I don't know. It's all crazy. And I have a big thing that it's very exciting that I can't talk about, but that's maybe looking like it might happen in the middle of October. And so when that happens, I'll be able to tell you about it. But even that feels not normal because it all happens alone, like no one's around.
So, at least that's a good thing, though. At least there's like positive things happening. It's like terrible news is happening all the time. Every newscast has like five terrible things and then one uplifting story at the end because they can't send you off to bed on like a sour note. Or maybe you're looking forward to the one bit of hope in the broadcast so you'll sit through all the ads. I don't know.
But you know, the bit of hope usually just makes me cry. I'm a mess. Mm-hmm. I'm a little bit of a mess. I just cried in the car outside because my five-year-old is five and pretty soon he's going to learn how to read. And then what? It's just ridiculous.
And then he'll be driving a car.
And I just started to cry. I mean, it's, but you know what it is too, is I've been putting together this final report for this, this grant that we received for my day job. And in doing so, I had to look through all of my photos to pull photos from when I was teaching these courses. And they're all mixed in with my personal photos because they were on my phone. And I have shut off all of the flashback things like time hop and everything on Facebook because I have a hard time with being accosted with imagery of my kids as babies or like being super, super cute even like a year ago. Because I don't know why, it just makes me like very sad. If I'm not in the mood to actually look at that stuff, like, and seek it out for myself, suddenly having it in front of my face doesn't make me go, oh, it makes me go, oh God, why? So I had to shut it all off. And then maybe that's why I cried today a little bit, because I was just recently looking at these images of our life in New York City, which I try not to think about very much because I don't want to miss it, you know? And looking at even images, because the last course I taught in person was March 11th, and then everything went crazy March 13th. And like seeing like what we were doing like 2 days beforehand what was happening March 10th, what was happening March 12th, because I needed big pictures from the 11th. And pictures, I was in charge of getting pictures for Leaf School for their newsletter. So I have all these pictures from his school of all the things they were doing. And they were doing a Diwali celebration, no, Holi celebration. Mm-hmm. And they were throwing like little mashed up pieces of tissue paper, and one of the moms had come in and was teaching, and I have these pictures of all the kids in circles, like, and oh, it just made me miss everything and have a moment of feeling like I know that being out here is right, but it also, oh, there was we did have a life out there. And as much as I try not to think about it, when I do think about it, I do find myself missing it quite intensely.
Yeah,
I can't read from that far away.
Use my phone. Oh. Like you usually do.
Marika says homesickness is so real, it makes everything harder. Yeah, exactly. And I, you know what? I just think I haven't let myself feel a lot of those feelings. And then, just even looking at pictures from the first couple months in our apartment of us trying to get through the pandemic and like, you know, all the things that we did. And you know what? As much as it was hard and it really sucked sometimes, I'm really proud of everything that we did to try to get through it. You know, we installed a swing in the apartment. We did a whole bunch of stuff like inside, and we cheered every single night at 7. I wonder if people in New York City are still cheering at 7. I actually don't know.
I don't know either. You know, it was a thing. I mean, it feels like, well, company-wide for us, mm-hmm. it's like like we're coming up on another transition because school's coming. Labor Day is coming. Labor Day for us Americans is, I think, September 7th or 9th, one of the two. It's like the second Monday in September. Mm-hmm. Something like that. Hold on.
Gesundheit.
Thank you. So, and that means a lot of things. It means school starting again. It means we get a national holiday. It means a three-day weekend. And it means that summer's over. Summer is gone and the fall is beginning. Even though there's still like another month of summer, it really feels like, all right, this is the turning point. It's starting to get a little bit colder.
And I'll tell you, it never really got that hot here. Mm-hmm. I mean, and we've been in a basement for most of it.
Yeah, we've been wearing coats this whole time.
I'm wearing a hoodie and a sweater and a t-shirt right now. So all of a sudden to have summer be over and it's like, wait, what happened to summer? You know, but we were so busy. Yeah. We just have so much to do for our different jobs to stay relevant. Like, it's more busy than I think we normally would be in terms of. Like, well, we see the kids, but then we're away from the kids. And then we see the kids, and then we're away from the kids because we can't do our work in the same space because they don't have internet at the house. So we have to come here to this space, which this is a great segue to say thank you so much to Springville Center for the Arts for this amazing residency. We are so, so thankful to be here and to be able to broadcast from this space. And to our neighbors, Love Inc. upstairs, they do amazing work with a lot of the religious leaders in town.
Well, they help out the community. They happen to be religious, but their mission is very secular, which is just like to help out everybody.
And they're super nice.
Yeah.
They're super, super nice.
So.
Yeah.
This is a transition point for us. Labor Day's transition. Yes. And we all see the writing on the wall. Change is coming. We're watching our Facebook insights to see the numbers going down, and maybe that's a good thing. We've been offering free stuff, like we've been streaming something every single day since March 17th, I think. And it's, let's see, September 7th. Thank you. thanks, Grandma.
Oh, my mom always knows dates. She knows the day of anything that has ever happened for anybody that she's really good friends with or family with.
First Monday of September. Thank you.
Hi, Mom.
So,
love you.
Things are changing, and we're looking back at everything that we've done and all of the things we've accomplished, all the stuff that we've amassed, including, you know, experience, you know, like the experience gained about streaming and changing what we usually do into a streaming format and how it's different and different goals and different tools. And now we're looking ahead thinking like, all right, well, one, if people don't need this anymore because everyone's back in school now, like our target demographic is back in school, be it streaming or in person or some kind of combination, maybe what we did, maybe that period is over. And maybe people don't want it or don't need it. So we're kind of wondering like, okay, so what do people need? What can we still provide? Because we're still in the situation where mm-hmm. we can provide. Maybe the rest of the world caught up to where we're at. Maybe because we helped teach a lot of puppeteers how to stream. Maybe a lot of teachers know how to stream now too. And a lot of like everybody, maybe we're all on this new plane of existence, right? In terms of like knowledge and this mm-hmm. brave new world of streaming. Maybe what we're doing is now so spectacularly non-unique anymore, and that there's so many more options out there, and everyone is totally fine with streaming. Maybe it's time to like hang our hats up and be like, that's right, we did it. We were there for the summer when people needed us. Or maybe people still need what we can provide. So we're kind of figuring that out about is it over? Probably not.
My guess is
we're still going to keep.
Yeah. I think what we need to be doing, and I don't know how to do this necessarily, is to branch out to new audiences that haven't yet been exposed to our work. That's Chad drinking water, by the way, for those listening later. What's that strange sound? Drink it up, honey.
That's not Z's tummy gurgling.
No. But how do we reach out to audiences that haven't seen or heard of our work yet? because there are so many people who haven't seen our work yet. Mm-hmm. And I think that there will be a new upswelling of need with people going back to this like more regimented schedule of trying to work from home while the kids are at school. When the virtual school day is over, their work day is not over. How do you try to balance that out? And can we be a part of that schedule, your weekly schedule in some capacity? And then, I don't know. I mean, I would really love to be be working with some teachers. That's what I've been wanting this whole time. But I know the teachers are just totally overwhelmed. But if you are a teacher, you know any teachers who are trying to put together curriculum right now, you know, send us an email and let's talk. I mean, we just want to support you guys. Like, you're doing such amazing stuff. We probably already have a show that would pair perfectly with something that you're doing. And, you know, you can schedule that into your lesson. And then here's some DIY workshops that we've already done. Do those too. You know, we would love to be in touch and just know that you're utilizing the content, because the radio silence too is a little tough. That knowing that there are definitely people who are benefiting from the work, but then not hearing from those people is like, you know. So if you like the stuff that we do, please let us know, because it's good for our hearts.
I mean, it's good for a lot of reasons. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so we've been positioning ourselves for the school year, basically. Like that's where we're. We decided as parents that we're all in for streaming school, so we might as well be there as puppeteers and professionals too.
Yeah.
So we've been talking to some people that are pitching at schools for the school year for, you know, 35 weeks streaming school. Let's go. Utilizing everything that we've created, everything that we've learned, and I'm patching together puppet shows and workshops and redoing our PDFs of like activity guides for the shows. Did you know we have activity guides for each show? Who knows? Because there's no way to keep track of who's downloaded it and who's used it unless you've specifically told us.
Mm-hmm.
So we're figuring it out. We know it's a transition period, and I feel like we have exactly 1 week to do it. So probably next podcast will tell you what we decided on. I think we had a pretty good idea that we will not mention right now, because
I know it was funny because I was like cheating. I was looking at Chad's notes because he said he wanted to talk to me sometime today about ideas. And so I was like, well, what are his ideas? Mm-hmm. And then I misread one of your ideas.
Yeah. And that was perfect.
But then I came up with another idea. So, but Chad knows, and if you don't know me very well, my favorite thing to do is brainstorming. Like, I love it. I love coming up with ideas. I love there's no roof. There's no limits. Just think. Just come up with things. So that's my favorite thing to do, is just, you know, bounce things off and try to come up with like, well, what about this? Well, what about that? How about this? And so maybe we can even make time for that tonight a little bit to do that. Although Chad's time is not in the evening and my time is not in the morning. So sometimes we have to find the time in the middle of the day where we're both like functioning.
That's right. We're Lady Hawk.
I don't know what that reference is.
Classic but 80s fantasy movie that nobody remembers because it was like, but it has Matthew Broderick in it, very young Matthew Broderick.
Okay.
Yeah, it's medieval. It's got swords.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I'll just say that I tend to like start functioning better in the afternoon, and then as the evening hits, I'm like full stride, and I could stay up until about 2 or 3 in the morning if I let myself. And Chad is the opposite of that.
Right. I'm in the morning. So in the movie Lady Hawk, there's this knight who
am I a Lady Hawk, and is that a good thing? These are the things I need to know.
So there's a knight, right? And he's like this real tough knight, and he has this awesome hawk, right? And they're like an iconic pair. But he's like, everybody stays away from him because he's cursed. Ooh, and he's trying to find a cure for his curse.
Wait. Are there colors of the knights like white and red or something like that? Nope, different movie. Okay, never mind.
No, but I think there's a lot of day for night because I remember the nights in the movie, like the nighttime being like bluish, like everything's blue, like they faked it.
Okay.
No, but his whole thing is that he has his hawk, right? And the hawk transforms into a beautiful woman at night.
Oh.
But guess what he turns into? Oh. A wolf.
Oh.
So during the day, he's a man and she's a hawk. They're cursed, CC.
Oh, no.
They're cursed. They can never be together.
Are you saying that we're cursed?
No, I'm just saying that during the night, I'm like this lumbering beast. I'm just like
true.
Grumpy and stay out of my way. My brain just loses function.
And I'm like, I just got this great idea. I can't
Let's
tell
talk
you.
About it.
No.
And then in the morning, I'm just like straight out of bed. Yeah, let's accomplish stuff. And I have 2 hours of like shower, yoga, clothes, like getting ready, like on emails, everything. And I'm just like, bam, my neurons like... And over in Z-land, like hey,
my
Z.
My two kids climb into bed with me, and we have a morning snuggle every single morning
it's like,
lately.
Z, mm-hmm. Z, you have to get up in like 30 minutes because we have to leave. Yeah, it's okay. You just give me 5 minutes. It's okay.
And Lies. I do use those 5 minutes.
Lies.
I use them.
Later, she's like, why'd you let me sleep?
You know
why'd
what?
Why'd you let me sleep?
I will say that morning Z is a very bad negotiator, and she should never be allowed at the table. No, there's no leaning in for morning Z. Morning Z does not get to have a say, okay? Because I will negotiate away all sorts of things that would have been really positive for my well-being,
yes.
Like showers, food, tea, you know, basically anything to just stay in my warm little hovel of my cocoon that I have created all night. It took me all night to get this warm and toasty.
Yes.
I am not leaving this behind.
It's buried. Yes. And so in that way, we are complete opposites when it comes to the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Lady Hawk. Mm-hmm.
But I do put in a request that the blinds not be pulled down from the windows, because when that happens, then I could just stay in bed all day, which is not healthy.
So wait, did you pull down the blinds?
No,
the kids
must have done that.
Because this morning, what I do is I like them at least a little bit up, the blinds, so I
like
can tell if it's
all the way up.
If it's nighttime or not.
I want the sun to wake me up, because if I don't have the sun waking me up, then we're in a basement, so I need something. You know, we live in a basement, we work in a basement. Basement.
Not for long,
life.
No. Not for long. We're going to move. We're going to move upstairs.
True. I'm excited about that. I think it'll be good for our well-being.
Me too. I think it's going to be good for our cat. Because the cat does not eat any food unless I'm standing there with her, which is kind of annoying because there's no signal in the basement. I can't, like, browse Facebook while my cat slowly eats.
Listen, I can tell you, she does eat when you're not there. But if she sees you, she's like, there is no other purpose on this planet at this moment for you, kind sir, except for coming over here and standing next to me while I eat.
Yes.
If she sees me, she's like, whatever, you clean my box. But she sees you and she's like, well, you feed me, so therefore you should be here next to me while I eat the food. Please fan me too.
I mean, I would.
Feed me treats while I'm in my hammock.
I would if I could just do something.
Should I get the sunny spot for Aura to bring back with me when I go back to
like a window? Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
The window seat.
So Z is going to go back. Z's going to go back
night.
For, I guess, just one night. Not a whole weekend, as I suggested, but one.
Other
just
people really liked that idea,
hours,
though.
Basically.
I got a text from a lovely friend of mine who was like, you should take him up on that. Just stay for a whole week. But I can't do that because I think it would be even weirder. You know, I mean, when we lived in New York City, I could probably count on two hands the amount of times since the children have been born that I've been alone in that apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Completely alone.
Yeah.
It's not many. And so it's going to be weird to be there, be alone. I don't know. I don't think it's going to be good for me to do that. So I'm just going to go in, do what I need to do, which is also stuff that is like not fun. You know, I have to, for those of you who don't know, I have to go back and get a second mammogram done because they saw something. I don't know what that means. But, you know, 6 months ago, they told me not to worry about it. So I did that. Didn't worry about it.
Which is probably good. Cause stress
compartmentalized causes, that emotion. And then, but now here we are, September. So I have to get it looked at again. And I'm also going to get my teeth cleaned. And I'm going to try and sneak in a flu shot, too, while I'm in town. So
yeah,
all the things. Teeth, boobs, shots.
Going to get some... You gonna get your hair done?
No, I don't do that. It just grows. It just gets longer and longer until finally it's like too long and then I deal with it.
And then you live in a tower and people climb up it, right? If the kids could climb up your hair in the morning, that would totally be a thing.
Well, you know, I'm living my truth, man. I'm making a puppet of Rapunzel right now. So I have to, you know, live the part. It's method, really. Method.
That's right. You're gonna cut. Yeah. Well, method puppet building would be, I'm going to chop off my hair and, like, stitch it into, like, the puppet's, like, scalp. No,
that's weird. That's weird. That's not method. That's, like, performance art meets
something. Because the puppeteer, you, would, you know, you would be visible, right? And they'd be just, like, chunks of hair missing. And it would all be on the puppets.
No.
People are like, wow, there's so many levels.
No, they'd be like, wow, that's exactly what I thought puppeteers are like. And now she's proving me right. We are not that weird. I mean, we're weird, but we're not that weird. Like, we're not a horror movie.
Thankfully, there aren't that many horror movies about puppets or puppeteers.
But when we are in a movie, it's always a horror movie. What are you talking about?
This is true. There aren't any, like, normal puppeteers in, like, a movie.
Or we're always, like, depicted as crazy, like being John Malkovich. Like, we got issues. Like, puppeteers can't just, like, you know, want to be a puppeteer and, like, have a happy life. No, you have to be on some kind of kid's show and then be, like, maligned about it or, like, you know, have some kind of issues, like, deep-seated or really, you know, like that guy from Full House, the dad, what's his name?
Bob Saget.
Yeah, who, like, is really dirty stand-up comic. Like, somebody like that who's, like, so sweet and nice on the show, but in real life, oh, watch out.
It's called acting.
I know, but I just mean that anytime a puppeteer is portrayed, they can't just like their job, you know? It's true. We can just like the job.
Okay, all right. So when you see a job represented in TV and film, and they're not the main character, mm-hmm. when is it usually, like, normal? Because people usually hate their jobs in stories because, you know, stories are about, like, change and, you know, like, going into the fantastical. So, like, cop shows, people usually, you know, like, the lawyers and stuff, like, they usually are not seen as weird because they're the main characters, right?
Yeah.
You know, even though law is extremely complicated and from, like, a certain perspective, like, it's weird. It's a weird job. Like, everything that you thought you knew about being a lawyer is wrong, especially when it's TV and film. So, like, what jobs are, what TV character or movie character is just like, wow, I love my job, and they're not, like, it's not the main focus of the movie. You know what I mean?
I'm the worst person to ask this of because, you know, I'm not really, I don't know a lot about media. But,
I'm looking in straight into the camera, so I'm like, I'm asking you at home. Yeah. So what are some good examples? Because, you know, we watch the movie Adventureland, and everybody in that movie hates their jobs.
Is that the one about the carnival?
Yes.
The amusement park.
Yes, amusement park.
That's so funny that you brought up that movie because that was the movie I was thinking of.
Oh.
That's the one with the girl in it that everybody.
Kirsten Stewart.
Her. Yes. Yes. She did a great job in that movie.
She's a good actor.
She is. Kristen Stewart. We would be friends. I just want to say it out loud. Like, I don't know that we're ever going to meet, but if we do, I think we would be really good friends. I just do. I have this feeling. It's a feeling. Yeah. I've seen her interviewed a few times. Like, when I really like an actor or an actress, like, I'll watch their interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel that way. But anyways, I was thinking of that movie.
Yeah.
Probably because it's one of the more recent full-length movies that I've seen mm-hmm. that was for adults.
And so let's put some caveats on here.
Okay.
Can't be in a fantasy or sci-fi setting. Because if you love your job, but your job is like steering a spaceship through outer space, I don't think that counts. It has to be like a regular job.
I don't know.
It may be unanswerable. You know, I'm just putting it out there.
I'm sure
to think about.
Tons of people have recommendations of it. I just can't think of anything.
There's no right answer. You know, there's plenty of wrong ones. All I'm saying is like, our job is usually viewed negatively in stories.
That's true.
So because for a long time, because my dad was a superintendent of prisons. So I thought, you know what? I don't think that job has ever, and I mean ever, been shown positively in movies or TV. Always an evil warden.
You know what? I think Orange is the New Black actually did a very nice job. Oh.
I did not watch that show.
I know you didn't. And I only watched the first two seasons because it got I got behind. But yeah. it was excellent. And not all of the characters in that are good because, you know, it's a show. But there is a character that I remember that, you know, he's flawed. Everyone's flawed because it's a show. But he is trying to do the right thing for some of these inmates and trying to offer them kindness and opportunities within a system and stuff. And it did give you some more perspective on the prison system in a way that I felt like other shows didn't.
Okay.
So I think, I don't know, I would be really interested to talk to other people who work in corrections if they watched that specific show to see what they thought of it.
It's all like, it's always fantastical and not real life. But, yeah, maybe like modern shows inject more realism into it. But I would say by and large, prison wardens are never shown in a positive light. They're always evil. They're always conniving and out to get you because the main character in a prison show is a prisoner. And from their perspective, maybe everybody's out to get them, or maybe they're showing an unfair system because in a prison, like your freedoms and your control over your life is taken away. So it kind of makes sense from a storytelling standpoint. If you had like the corrections officers and the superintendent be just like regular nice people, it wouldn't have the same kind of impact as to what you're trying to say with your story, as if, you know, they're mean and evil and oppressive. Because I mean, the Shawshank Redemption, right? It's the classic prison movie where man is, we think, wrongfully imprisoned, and the guards and the warden, like everybody's just out to get him, and just like life is unfair and he's gonna eventually rebel against life itself.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's been interesting talking to your dad some more because I feel like we never talked a lot about his work in prisons and his work in corrections, because he worked in corrections for most of his career. And he was really trying to make positive change in a way that I hadn't really fully realized. I mean... You know, when we talk about prison reform, I'm a fan of Angela Davis, and there are some other feminist writers as well who have spoken quite loudly about things that we could be doing to reform a broken, very broken system. And what's refreshing is to hear somebody who worked in that system and then got very high up for most of his life, and he'll be the first one to tell you it's broken. And but here's what I did to help. And, you know, it's interesting to think about trying to fix it from the inside instead of being on the outside and, you know, saying all of this stuff is wrong.
And getting frustrated.
Right. I mean, you know, he's putting together all these conferences right now of wardens from another country who are all trying to like fix their system or like make their system better, because now he works as a consultant. And one of the things he was frustrated with was that some of the main people who were organizing it had never even worked in prisons.
Yeah.
And you know, of course, like, and all I can relate it to is puppetry, because that's what I know. And I know that whenever we would start on a new show, it's like none of these people have ever worked with puppets.
Yes.
Right? And yeah. So then you always have this feeling of like, oh, here we go again. You know, square one, like you have to give them the basics of like, well, this is this and this is that. And then there's a whole learning curve. And then you can kind of start on like a level. But it takes so long to like reach this level of understanding of like what you're actually dealing with. Right. And, you know, I could kind of relate to it in that sense. of, you know, you need people who have had experience within the system to be able to help to fix the system.
Our friend Marika is saying that panda nannies seem like they'd always be happy on screen and off screen. Now, I don't know, man. Panda nannies, being a panda nanny sounds like a really hard job. Pandas are heavy, and they do what they want, and they're treated like royalty. It sounds like a really hard job being a panda nanny. But adding to what you're just saying, I think that it's a lot about perspective, too, because something my dad did was institute a program where they would, no matter where, whatever facility he worked at, they always did. They always grew vegetables and donated all these, you know, pounds and pounds of vegetables to the food pantry local, and maple syrup and stuff like that. And you could see that as like, wow, you know, they're giving the inmates something to do, something to be feel proud of, help out a local community. Or if you're the inmate doing the work, you could say, wow, this is slave labor. You know, how dare they? And like, so there's,
well, maybe I'm biased or jaded about it, but for some reason, I see using prisoners to fight the wildfires in California, which there aren't as many prisoners to fight the wildfires right now because they released so many. So now they're facing issues with a lack of people on the ground, right? Versus learning skills and trades and like growing things in the dirt and stuff. I don't know. To me, I guess you could still put it in the same category. It's not printing license plates, you know.
It's something, but it's like, it's extremely dangerous, and they pay you. If you get paid, it's pennies, thanks to the 13th Amendment.
What's extremely dangerous?
Fighting fires.
Fighting fires is very dangerous. So I feel like that. I feel like that is slave labor in a sense. But I don't necessarily feel that way about the growing vegetables and the maple syrup. But maybe I should, I don't know.
There's a thing.
It's complicated. It's all complicated, and that's the other thing too. It's all complicated.
It's a mess.
But all that is to say that, you know, I'm getting to know your parents more.
Yeah.
I guess, and getting to have these kinds of conversations about their life because I didn't grow up with them. You did.
Yes.
You know, and
I've heard these stories before.
Yeah. So they're not new to you, but they're new to me. And also, every once in a while, I hear new story from your mom. She repeats a lot of the same stories a lot. So, but that's nice too because actually, you know what it ends up doing. Makes you remember them because she repeats them all the time. So I won't forget them.
I think that's her way too of like remembering these stories is because she repeats them to herself. But the thing is like that you get new details like every time. Maybe that's not exactly what went down.
No, it's not new details necessarily, but every once in a while there's a new story or something that I hadn't heard before, right? And then I'm like,
The thing with my mom is, and hey mom, hi. Is what I remember and what she says, if I'm present for any of these stories, are opposites. Always opposites. And my mom has this bad habit. We all have bad habits. My mom's bad habit is she will never accept blame. Ever. And if she dropped a glass and broke it, she would never accept the blame for it. And that's just a thing, and she knows about it, and we know about it. It's this family thing that we know, and maybe when I get older, some of my bad habits are going to become concrete bad habits. You know, like I have things that we all have things that we want to change about ourselves. But we can only move forward and eliminating those problems if we accept that we have a problem, right?
Well, I don't know what I'm getting for your parents for Christmas this year, but it's going to be the most amazing Christmas present ever. Just to say thank you for the amount of support and kindness that they've shown to us and our kids over these last few months, because like, I mean, we are not like an easy package to like let in. I try to do stuff around the house to say thank you, but you know, my kids are kind of difficult sometimes and they like go through things. I mean, they're kids, you know, and it's not like we're just visiting for a couple weeks. Like we've been here for months. When do they get to have like their time off and like, you know, their peace and quiet and get to walk through their house in their underwear? They don't, right? Like they don't get to have that kind of like easygoing privacy time that they are probably used to. And so, you know, I really, really appreciate that they have been so accommodating to us and made us feel like we're not putting them out. Or
I think they'll miss us when we're gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, they were empty nesters for a while.
Yeah.
They would see us and their family like a couple weeks here.
Maybe
there,
your mom will miss the dishes fairy who does the dishes.
I think she's in competition with the dishes fairy, quite honestly.
Sometimes. That's,
yeah, because sometimes I'm just like at odd hours, like midnight, I'm like, what's that noise? Oh, it's my mom unloading the dishwasher.
Sometimes she like, but we're both like that, or I'll do it really early in the morning.
Uh-huh. Yeah, maybe it's like this fierce competition.
You know what? Well, maybe. Yeah, maybe. Like when they go to church, I'm like, okay, it's on. And then I, but you know, it's nice because I clean the bathroom that everybody uses once a week downstairs. I vacuum it once a week. I sweep everything once a week. You know, I mean, we sweep more than once a week, but like I do a really good sweep of all the floors.
You do a Z sweep.
Yes, things get moved. That's what
I'm
saying.
So you do a Chad sweep every once in a while, but then a Z sweep once a week.
Well, that's when you have to move things. You can't just like be like, oh, it's heavy. You know, you move it. Yeah. So, and like little things. And I don't know. It's just been really nice.
Yay. Well, on that note, thanks, Mom and Dad. Thanks for everything.
Yeah.
You guys are great.
And it's my birthday tomorrow.
That's right. Happy
birthday.
I'm going
to bake my own cake.
Oh, yeah, man. I was going to talk to you about, so Finn, our youngest one, was like, all I had to do was mention that it was your birthday. And she's like, ooh, I'm going to get Mama something. And I'm like, great. I'm trying to steer him towards, oh, you know what she really likes is art. When you make her some art, right? Yeah. But he's like, no, no. I need to buy Mama something
from
the store.
He loves buying presents. Yeah. He loves getting things for other people.
Yeah, he's very sweet in that way. So we went to Walmart together. Actually, we went to Tops for we went to the supermarket first. And we got some bologna because he's really into bologna lately. And some lemons because we heard the Leaf needed
lemons
for lemons. Something.
Yep.
We only got three, sorry.
That's great. Three's great.
Because Finn was like, three.
I said
sure?
two or three.
And he's like, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then we went across the street to Walmart, and we went and we looked for, like, I kept asking him every 5 minutes, hey, so do you know what you want to get her? And he's like, no, but maybe I will later.
Did he go to
or,
the toy
or
section?
Just like, well,
I'm so curious what he got.
Not at all.
Me.
No, that would have been our older kid. No, it was like, he was just looking around. Like, we enter the store, and there's baked goods, and he's like, ooh. Oh, cupcakes. I could get Mama some cupcakes. I'm like, oh, yeah, great. Well, let's remember those because she's going to make her own cake. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, she can make. Then it's like, okay, let's go into the greeting card aisle because I'm like, wow, you know, there's so many birthday cards here. Mm-hmm. And he's like, not really. Ooh, pinatas. I was like,
he loves a good party.
Pinatas, yes.
Finn loves parties. He loves giving gifts. He loves receiving gifts. He just loves celebrations.
Yes.
He is our celebration kid. And I'll tell you that that's one of the reasons why it was heartbreaking to me that he didn't get to have a birthday party this year.
Yeah.
Because he has been talking about having a nice big boy party for being 5 years old for like a year. He had been talking about it and he was so excited. He'd been listing off his friends from pre-K that he was going to invite and like changing the list for months. And so when it came time to actually do the birthday party and we couldn't have people over and we couldn't really celebrate it in the way that he wanted, it was a bummer for him.
But he didn't flip out.
No,
he
didn't flip out.
He's very rational about it.
But, I mean, we have to do something for him next year. You know, like, hopefully we'll be able to do something special for him. Even if it means, like, going someplace. But I just...
I think that because he is very selfless and likes it when other people are happy.
Yeah.
That's his deal.
Yeah.
That he's all in for other people's parties.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So when we did not get you a pinata, by the way.
Don't
although
tell me.
They had cute little pinatas too.
The taco pinata, I saw that
the
other day.
No, there was like little mini unicorns and little mini, but it didn't say pinata. It said like decor.
Oh,
like you're not supposed to destroy the mini pinatas. I guess you're just supposed to like put them in cute little places. But no, we wandered the aisles a little bit, and then finally he had an idea.
Okay.
actually, no, finally I had an idea, and I was like, ooh, I got an idea, and then told him, and he was okay with it.
Okay.
And then on our way to the idea, he was like, oh, what about this? And I was like, yes, yeah, okay, whoa, what about this? Oh, okay, sure. Yeah, and then wow. by the end, we had like three things
Aww.
We felt really good about.
That's
and
so
then
sweet.
Maybe the older one will want to do the same thing tonight. I don't know. I don't know. We'll find out.
He said he was going to make me something, but sometimes he's not good about scheduling his time. So he has to put the time aside because he wanted to paint something for me. So we'll see if he can do that. But my hope is that they're going to work on something right now while we're gone. We have to go buy cake pans while we're out because your mom doesn't have round cake pans because she's never made a round cake, like a layered cake. And she keeps asking, like, is this necessary? Do you really need to make, like, a cake with layers? And I'm like, yeah, because then it's like cake and then frosting and then cake and then frosting instead of just cake.
She'll like it when it comes out.
Everybody will like it. It's the most delicious cake. It's this peach cake that I just love, and it's so delicious.
Oh, yeah, the wedding cake.
Yes, the wedding cake.
My Aunt Connie's recipe, right?
No, it's not. I gave her the recipe. Okay. It's from the back of a box from, like, the 90s. But it's just so good. It's so good.
Maybe you could post the recipe for our listeners to prove that that they're listening. Show us a picture of your cakes.
You make the cake. It's a good cake. It's like a nice, it's not like too sticky sweet, and it's very delicious. I just love that cake. So, I'm really looking forward to having that cake.
You're going to make that cake. First you're gonna work tomorrow in the morning.
Yes, I have my top secret project tomorrow morning, which I'm excited about.
And then after lunch, when you're feeling, you know, exhausted and just like...
I'm going to refuel at lunch, and then I am going to... I'm going to finish as much as I can this final report for this grant that we received for my day job.
Mm-hmm.
And that will feel amazing because I'm just in such a good place with it mentally right now. And writing is challenging for me. So for me to even say that is huge. And it's taken me longer than I would have liked to do it. But you know what? I've also done it in a different way than I have in other projects, which is I've been working on it a little bit every day.
That's great.
Yeah. I've been doing other things, which has lengthened the time that it took for the project. But instead of me diving in and going whole hog and doing like 6 straight hours on it, which is more like old Z, and then getting totally burnt out or stuck and then saying, I can't do it, and then walking away for a year.
Yes.
Because that is me. That is me in a nutshell. Instead, I've worked on other projects. Then I come to it. I make myself do an hour. And then if I still have momentum after that, I get to work on it a little bit longer. But I've never worked on it for more than, I'd say, like 2 hours straight at this point.
That's good.
Yeah.
Just, you know, little nibbles, right? And eventually it gets eaten. We will post pictures of the cake. No worries.
Marika. I will. It's a really delicious cake.
I think you need to post the recipe now.
Okay. I will.
Yeah.
I will. I have the photocopy of the recipe back at our house, but I emailed it to somebody a long time ago, so I have it typed out.
Oh, good.
So I can copy and paste it.
Well, by the way, I know this is a random question, but I was just thinking about like sharing and recipes and stuff. Do you still keep up with, like 7 years ago, there was formed like a secret group of puppeteer moms who were like new moms. Is that still a thing? Is it still going?
It's still a thing. It's not super active. I could be more of a person to make it be more active, but honestly, I've just been so overwhelmed with everything, and I always have great ideas for it, and then I like implementation is low. So, but I think that everybody... I would like to think that everybody who is a mom in the group maybe suffers from the same issues that I have, which is I would love to, but I just have no bandwidth for this right now. So but occasionally people post things, and that's nice. What I really want to do is have us all send each other letters of encouragement. Maybe we should do that for the beginning of the school year. You know,
it's a good idea.
Instead of it being centered around Mother's Day or some other kind of holiday, that you know, everybody gets an address and you just have to send a little note. Maybe it's an email. You don't even have to put it in the mail. Maybe it's an email, mm-hmm. and it's just an email of encouragement that you will be receiving. Maybe it's from anonymous, so you just send them all to me, and then I'll disperse them all.
You could do that for all moms, right? Like throughout the world. I mean, doesn't each mom need some encouragement now and then? So maybe that's like a good thing.
Well, you know, because there's this exercise that I made us do one time at Big Big World that I think is really nice for team building. You write somebody's name at the top of a piece of paper, and then everybody has to write something nice about that person, something positive. And then at the mm-hmm. end of the day, everybody gets their papers. And it's like a really nice thing to get to look through and see all these different handwritings and see a note about yourself. So I don't know. Not everybody in the board knows each other, but I think that hearing nice things, kind things about each other. I have another.
Brad saying, Zia, have another project. Please post the recipe for the cake.
Okay. I will post the recipe as soon as we're done.
Yeah.
Here. I will
say, show us photos of the cake. We want the cake.
Okay.
We want the cake.
Okay. You guys, tomorrow, actually probably Tuesday, because the cake, we'll get pictures of it tomorrow mm-hmm. when it's made. And then Tuesday, pictures and recipe. We'll post it on the WonderSpark Facebook page. Mm-hmm. Okay? Okay? We'll do it.
I want those that note of encouragement to be public, though. Like if we can, maybe everybody listening, if you could write a note of encouragement for parents out there. Doesn't matter.
Maybe we could have an ongoing Google Doc. You know, like a link to a Google Doc and it's just words of encouragement for parents. Yeah, we could do that.
We'll read them. Mm-hmm. So how about this? You got homework. Next week, we're going to, I'll write some words of encouragement. Maybe you write some too.
Yeah.
If anybody out there wants to write some words of encouragement for parents, all parents everywhere, we'll read them next week. Here on the podcast, we'll post them on the Facebook page, and we'll start that Google Doc, right?
Yes.
Although sometimes Google Docs links can be viruses, so we'll figure out some kind of method.
All right. Well, yeah. And, okay, I guess how would people get us their words of encouragement,
then? Send it to our email address.
Which one?
And we will disperse them. So info, at wondersparkpuppets.com. I'll put it into chat right now.
Send some words of encouragement, and we'll post something about it on our Facebook page tomorrow. Okay.
Because I said pipits. Oh no, it's really hard to edit. Oh man, trying to write out our email address here.
Okay.
Okay.
Yay.
There.
Yeah, because I think we could all use a little bit of love right now. I think everybody is. You know, I saw a meme not too long ago on one of these mom pages that I'm on, and it said something like, if you see another mom, and they tell you what their plans are for the school year, your answer should be, wow, I'm sure that was a really hard choice. I know you're doing the best thing for you and your family. You're doing great, no matter what they say they're doing. And because you know what? No matter what choice anybody is making, we're all still agonizing if that was the right choice or not. All of us. And that is like something that we are all feeling and hoping for the best and waiting for this to be over and wondering when things will be okay and if our kids are going to be okay. And will they look back on this time period and then have to be in therapy for years and years? Or will they look back on this time period as adults and know that we really tried to do our best? Or were we so overprotective that they missed out on like huge growth milestones that they should have been having and now are like, you know, socially stunted forever? I don't know.
Who knows? But like
concerns.
Like we learned this when we became new parents, that everyone has an opinion about all the choices you make as a parent, right? Thankfully, that kind of stops after a few years. People.
No.
No.
That doesn't stop.
Never mind.
That doesn't
no,
stop.
No, everyone has real strong opinions about your choices that you have carefully thought about one way or the other, but we're all just winging it. We're all just trying to make it happen and do the best for our kids, right? So the intervention rule as a parent, I've learned, is is you see a child fall on the playground or cry out or something, right? But do we run over to that child? The rule is, okay, are they in danger? Yes or no? If no, leave them alone because you know their parent is
rule.
That's my rule.
My rule is look around. Is anyone else running to this child? No, I will run to that child and ask them where their parents are. Right? Like that's, but you know, you have to be careful.
You can do both. This is, you know, it's more like a guideline. Let's say
maybe a guideline for guys. But maybe,
it doesn't matter. Like the whole thing about like people in general not being cool to men around kids is a thing. But no, this is just like a general intervention rule because, mm-hmm. man, every time a kid cried, I wanted to be there, you know, to ask him what was wrong. But it's not my place because their parents are somewhere. And when I let our kids roam around the playgrounds and trip and fall and get hurt and not run over, you know, or I let them just play way, 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 way far away where maybe nobody else could see me, but I could see them, or just let them roam. That was my choice. And I got tons of flack for it. Other parents come telling them, where's your mom and dad? Or come to tell me, can you even see your child? You know, like things, opinions, right? I want to give that same freedom to some other parent who may have like maybe totally fine with letting their kid just, you know, free range, do whatever they want. Is the child in danger or hurt? If no, leave them alone. Maybe check up on them. Maybe look around, like you said, right? But you got to respect other people's parenting choices.
I'm not giving that child a Band-Aid without somebody else being there.
Yeah.
Like one of their adults. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I like the idea of collective community parenting. And I think that we live in a place where that gets to happen most of the time, actually. And then there's people who are very vocal who aren't cool with it. But, you know, I miss the playground. Like, I miss going to the playground with the kids. And I miss, you know, them just getting to hang out and play for, like, an hour with no structure and no, like, they don't have a lot of structure out here playing, but I just mean like they might run into some kid that they've never met before and like have fun and then never see them again, and that's okay. Like, mm-hmm. I miss that level of interaction a bit. And
I hear you. So bringing that around, parents need encouragement. Because we think hard, everyone thinks hard about the choices that we all make related to our kids more than you might think as like a casual observer of somebody who just runs into their kids once. Everything about their lives has been thought of. And you got to give parents credit. So if parent is out there, if you're listening, good job. Great job. You did it. Look, you're doing a great job today, man.
Without the clap, think you should say what this makes it feel sarcastic.
You gotta clap with me. So let's clap
together.
No, I'm
not clapping. No, it makes it feel sarcastic, and I want it to be like you are doing a great job.
Okay.
You know, like sincere. You
know, this is a sincere clap. It wasn't like great job, parents.
I just don't like the clap.
You really did it. Uh huh.
There's
no.
something about I want it to be like a cheer.
I want people to applause.
High five.
Applause can only happen if people join in.
Double high five. We love you. You're doing great. And you got this and you matter and you're making all the hard choices. I know my brain is so done with making choices. Like my mother-in-law, she wants me to decide I only have to make dinner twice a week, which, oh my God, like I'm so thankful for you guys. It's huge. Huge that I only really have to make two big meals a week. Oh, it's amazing. So she wants me to plan what those meals are and then let them know like days ahead of time. And my brain just can't handle it. I can't handle making choices. And that is a sign to me that I am like stressed, that I'm super stressed because I can't, they keep asking me like, what are we having for dinner on Thursday? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. That's a great question. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And then even yesterday, it was Saturday. I do Thursdays and Saturdays. Your mom said, We took some chicken out of the freezer and put it in the fridge. And I was like, perfect, I'll make chicken.
See, they're learning. They're learning your ways.
I just kind of look around and then put something together.
Yeah, and that's why the rutabaga happens.
Well, I bought the rutabaga with the intention of making a pasty, which if you live in the Midwest or Upper Michigan area, you might know what a pasty is. It's like a pot pie, like almost like a Cornish pie, like with meat and potatoes and stuff. I was going to make a vegetarian version of that, but then it felt like overambitious and I didn't know who was actually going to enjoy it. So instead I roasted the rutabaga, but everybody really liked it.
Yeah, yay. Everybody ate it. Even the leaf, I think, maybe ate it.
Oh, my mom is hearting that because she probably would have loved it if I had made a pasty. love you, Mom. Yeah, but, you know, rutabaga, unsung root vegetable. If you aren't familiar with it, roast it with some olive oil, salt, pepper, a little bit of thyme. Then when it's just about done, take it out of the oven. You cube it, peel it, cube it, roast it. Then once it's just about done, take it out of the oven and put like about a tablespoon of butter on top and some brown sugar. Mix that up. Put it back in for a couple minutes. Delicious.
Just like that.
Ah, so good. So good. It's like dessert.
Wow. That everything you just said, gone. There's a rutabaga, I think, involved. Anyway, this has been I enjoy our talks, Z.
Our talks.
Yeah, this is our talky time.
Yeah,
it's in the middle of the day. That's why we're doing it now instead of the evening, because met for many reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But see, we're like in the middle of the day, just mm-hmm. like Lady Hawk. We can both.
We can coexist.
We're both functioning. We're not like animals in the middle of the day.
Now I feel like I need to watch this movie.
I gotta tell you, it's probably underwhelming.
I don't know. You say that about a lot of things that I like, so.
Okay.
And if you haven't seen Adventureland, I recommend it.
That was pretty good.
I really liked that movie, and I worked at a baseball park for a couple summers as a it was a farm team for the Philadelphia Phillies, and it reminded me a lot of the vibe from the baseball park.
Okay. So. Great. We hit 120. I think this is our longest podcast ever.
We just must have really wanted to talk.
It's time. It's time. Okay.
Thanks for listening,
everybody.
Have a great week. You matter. You're doing great.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.